Hello and welcome to Colonial Console, Army of Century Media's premier video game podcast. My name is Malik Johnson. I'm the news editor at armyofcenturymedia.com, and with me I have Garrett Roberts.
Hi, I'm Garrett Roberts, A&E's assistant manager.
And today we've got a show where we're going to talk with Dave Roebuck, who competed in Las Vegas over the summer, the NHL National Gaming Championship. And both me and Garrett, we also spent our weekends playing Spider-Man.
So many hours wasted swinging through New York.
Oh, that's been my favorite part, honestly. It starts off really, like, I guess let's get started. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite parts about the game has been definitely going through New York. It was something that leading up to release, they talked about so much, and I was like, they're going to overdo it. It's not going to be as great as they're making it out to be, but it definitely is everything as good as it's been made out to be. My favorite thing is, at first, it's really hard. And then when you get in the flow of it, I can go across New York so fast now.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the highlights of the game. It's a lot better than the previous Spider-Man games, like mm-hmm. comparing it to stuff like Spider-Man 2 and like the games on the PlayStation 2. Mm. The swing feels a lot more fluid. And I mean, once you get momentum, you start going through the city, you're running off walls, jumping off of the points that you can sling to, and then you start moving so fast, and it actually rewards you for going that fast with experience, which is really cool.
I like just being able to climb up. I don't even know how to describe just moving through the city. It's momentum based, so it is, you're swinging on a pendulum, and you can release at the top of the swing to go higher, and if you go in the middle, you go faster. But even still, going up at the top of the jump and just watching Spider-Man fly through the sky, it's really interesting.
Yeah, whenever you get to the top of somewhere like Avengers Tower and then just jumping off, falling, and then last second swinging away, and then just flying is just one of the best experiences that you can probably get on the PS4 as of now.
But another thing that the game does really good is the story mode. Mm-hmm. Again, leading up to release, they talked about how the story is really new and really different from the other Spider-Man stories, and it really is. I don't know how in-depth we want to get into the story.
I guess without spoiling it would probably be the best so that people can experience it for themselves. But
yeah, I think one of the first things I noticed was when you go to Peter's job for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably... I'm most of the way through the game now. I'm going through the final boss fights. But still, that first moment when you go to Peter's job and you realize what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
It's still one of my favorite moments, and it's one of my favorite story beats throughout the game, is you kind of watch what happens between Peter and his boss.
Yeah, and it really, a highlight of the story. I guess the story stands out because Spider-Man's a little bit older than he is in most of the other media. In other things, he's a college student, so he's working at the Daily Bugle, or even in Homecoming, he's a high school student. But having a slightly older Peter Parker makes it so that there's that more interesting dynamic between him and his boss, and he actually is doing these things believably. Like a high school student hacking into technology isn't as believable as somebody who does it as their job.
Yeah.
It's the daily beat for him to do coding. And then whenever he goes to that job, those mini games that you play in order to, get his work done, it's not, a burden on you. And then they offer you can go back and do the extra, levels in that as a reward rather than you need to go and complete 10 of these to beat the game.
Can you? Can you go back and do more of it?
Mm-hmm. Whenever you go back to his job, without spoiling too much, you can walk over and activate the mini game, and there's 10 levels you can do, and at the end of it, you get the tokens necessary to unlock more of the suits.
Oh, that doesn't affect how the story plays out, does it?
No, but the fact that it's there and it's not necessary to complete, mm-hmm. but if you just look around and you find it, it's a cool little addition to the game.
Yeah, like I said, I'm most of the way through the game now, and I mm-hmm. didn't know that at all. I just went in and I did Peter's 5 minutes of work that he does and left.
Oh, well, something you'll find out as we talk about games going forward in the series is I go back and collect everything.
See, I'm not that person. I like to, like, speed through games and just finish them. I like the feeling. You know, on Twitter, I'll always post how long it took me to finish a game.
Yeah, if I did that, I would probably have 400 hours put into X game, and I still haven't beat it. I have not beat Skyrim to this day for that exact reason.
But Skyrim, nobody's beaten Skyrim. Beating Skyrim is a myth.
But I always want to go back and collect those things because the suits are probably the thing I like the most about the game.
Oh, I love this. I've been using the Iron Spider suit from Homecoming.
Yeah, and one thing that did kind of like seem a little bit disappointing was that the pre-order suits you got for pre-ordering Spider-Man can be unlocked in-game as you go forward.
Yeah, I did pre-order the game. I usually pre-order games like 2 or 3 days before they come out so that I can get that nice download.
And then, like, the suit that I've been using was the Spider-Noir suit.
Yeah, I saw in your review.
It's probably my favorite suit just from the pure aesthetic of it, and I like the storyline in the comics. But all the suits look really nice, and I do like the fact that you can switch out the abilities for aesthetics, and that's, like, a genuinely good decision on Insomniac's part.
Yeah, I've been using the Web Blossom ability. The one thing I don't like about the suits is that a lot of them kind of look the same.
Yeah.
There are a lot of, like, maybe one is saturated a little bit more. They're not really that different between each suit. There are a bunch of them that are, like, really varied. I know the Iron Spider suit, the Spider-Man MK suits are there. But a lot, I think there's, like, 3 or 4 of them in a row that are just the same thing with different, like, color swaps.
Yeah, I think probably the laziest attempt from that was the negative suit that you can unlock.
Yeah.
Which is just really pumping up the gamma radiation on that suit, but it's definitely an interesting mechanic, and I would like to, if they did a sequel, see a more diverse set of suits. Like, probably the diverse ones you can find in the game are stuff like Spider-Noir, Spider-Punk, and those kind of suits. And I do like that, like, certain things in the game will change. Like, if you're swinging around with Spider-Punk, Jameson will then chirp in going, "There's a new Spider-Man going around in punk rock. I hated punk rock."
Really?
Okay. And that's definitely one of the more, like, interesting parts of the game is just hearing Jonah Jameson talk in your ear as you're swinging around New York.
I like that he reacts. I like this. The J. Jonah Jameson that I know is the Sam Raimi one.
Yeah.
And that'll forever be the Jonah Jameson that I compare every Jonah Jameson to. But I like this one a lot. He's clearly a veteran reporter who's just bad at his job. And, like, you hear him on his podcast, and he's, like, yelling at people that call in. And he's like, "You don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I'm, you know, Emmy Award-winning journalist." And it's just, it's great. It's definitely probably my second favorite Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, just from, like, how they do the character standpoint, that he's just passionate about his job. Like, he genuinely enjoys reporting, and you could tell that, like, through the thing. But he mixes that up with his personality. He's actually voiced by the guy who did Reinhardt in Overwatch.
Okay.
And he does a lot of voices, and he really enjoyed doing Jonah Jameson.
That's cool. I like some of the other characters that show up. Miles Morales, who isn't a spoiler, he's been in a lot of the trailers before the game. I guess if you didn't watch trailers, then that is a spoiler. But I like how they go about Miles' story and how it ends. I think definitely shows kind of the direction. The ending of the game definitely kind of shows the direction that they would go in if they had a sequel. But it still leaves it open enough that you can end the game there and you can just assume that Spider-Man happens.
While the game had, like, a lot of positives, there were a couple of, like, things that kind of left a sour taste in my mouth, and I'd like to see them improve on for a second game. Like, during the story missions, the combat feels a little bit too linear. It's kind of move to room, beat up bad guys. Like, the enemies are varied enough that it's still interesting to fight because you're bouncing off walls, webbing them to walls. But it just feels linear at points.
Yeah, I don't think it feels linear because there's definitely different ways to... There's definitely a certain way that the game wants you to fight a Spider-Man. When you, like, approach enemies, they'll say, don't let them get in the air. Don't let them get in the air. Keep them on the ground. They'll say things like that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, as Spider-Man, I've been on the ground. The most things that I'll do is I will just web people to walls. I try to fight as actually little as possible. And I also feel like the game doesn't really punish me for it at all. Like, I'm perfectly fine. I can fight most enemies. Doing that, I think the major bosses are the only ones that you're forced to kind of be in the air for.
If you compare it to Arkham, its combat is a lot better than the Arkham series could do just because of how acrobatic Spider-Man is. But, like, even then, it's very reminiscent of that where Spider-Man's a little bit smarter. Arkham had an issue where you had to repeatedly press square to win. And Spider-Man being able to vary that makes it so that those sections feel like they feel less linear. It still feels like you're going from room to room beating up enemies.
Yeah.
And I wish like the story missions had something like it would take you into the overworld more and you would have to do something. Like maybe if you were climbing up Avengers Tower while fighting something, it would be more engaging than...
I hated those missions where you have to climb up the towers. There's one specifically where you're trying to break into, I think, Oscorp, and you have, like, the Sable police force trying to... I hated that so much. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. The game has sections where they tell you go out and to do the open world, and I feel like they don't give you enough time to actually do anything. I would like it to be, like, you have to do this many side missions before the game goes on, because realistically, you can swing a couple of blocks and the story will just keep going, and it feels kind of rushed. I don't really get to, like, enjoy the game as much.
Yeah, and the side missions, like, they're nothing big. It's not like a side mission in, like, the example used earlier, Skyrim, where it's an entire another storyline. But it kind of adds to the story in ways. A lot of them deal with the first villain in the game and, like, kind of relating back to his criminal group. The side quests definitely are rewarding enough, and they're short enough so that whenever you go and do them, it doesn't feel like a waste of time. It's usually 5 minutes per side quest, and then you unlock new suits, and that gives you something new to play with.
Yeah, I don't like the bases, though. That's the only thing. Yeah, the bases, they feel so long, and they're not easy either. Mm-hmm. They're really hard to do, and I'll do one maybe 3 or 4 times just to get like a clear, and then I'll go back and I'll try to do all the secret things. And normally, I don't even do all the, like, extra add-ons. I'm just like, look, I did it. I got my token. I'm going to call it a quits here.
Yeah, and whenever it does start to drag on like that, you realize that the combat is hard. Like, it's not going to baby you through it. Once again, Arkham was you punch an enemy, and that's the best way to deal with them. You didn't really have to use Batman's gadgets, but Spider-Man actually rewards you for webbing up enemies to walls. Like, the first time I discovered that you could just web somebody to a wall and end it, it was probably the enlightening experience of that game.
That's pretty much how I play.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, whenever you do the web bomb,
mm-hmm.
when you eventually unlock that and web multiple people to a wall, and just seeing them stuck there while you're running around dealing with the bigger enemies is, like, enjoyable. It feels like you're actually doing something in combat.
Yeah, another thing that I like that's not combat or not exploration-based in the game is the stealth portions. They're actually, besides Miles' stealth portions, which I think are the worst ones by far, mm-hmm. the Mary Jane stealth portions are really good. I generally will play a game if I can. I will play it stealthily. I'll try to take out as little enemies as possible. And Mary Jane's, they're generally smart. They're not super difficult where I feel like it's impossible. Each one is doable. Each one, the environment makes sense. If you push over a toolbox, an enemy will go in that direction. Each enemy has a really specific route that you can look at and you can find. But it's also hard enough that it does take a couple of tries. You don't just breeze through. Whereas the thing with Miles is, one, I think the idea that he just develops this app where he can hack things is ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. Also, a lot of times, his sections are built worse. They're not as good. Most of the ways that I've gotten through Miles' sections is literally just running through it and hoping that it takes longer for the enemy to recognize that they've caught me than for me to get to the end point, to get to the next checkpoint.
Yeah, and while the Mary Jane Miles parts are, like, interesting stealth-wise, I think it was kind of put in after the fact, after they realized Spider-Man could do stealth, too. And that's why Mary Jane's portions are, like, better, because she actually has more mechanics involved with it, but Miles just kind of runs behind something and hides.
Especially later in the game, too, when you're running from a boss character mm-hmm. as Miles, and I was so frustrated. I was like, this is probably the worst stealth portion. This is really uncreative. I'm using this boss as a bulldozer, and the hacking thing is only kind of partially there. It's not even really used.
Yeah, and I know that you said that you were kind of like going through the game almost as like quickly as possible, but did you feel like the story at the beginning was kind of dragging on for a bit?
No, I actually think the story moves really fast. Mm. I think the point from... there's a specific point when you finish the first villain onward, the story moves way faster than the rest of the game. I think you definitely could have either condensed the game into one section. You could have taken that whole first section out, definitely.
Yeah.
And it had a solid game. But it was necessary for the build-up to that second villain. And I understand that, but it definitely could have been shorter. But I don't think it's slowed down at all.
Yeah, I mean, from a storytelling standpoint, the first villain is interesting and everything. But as I was going through the game, I was honestly, like, becoming less interested in that and more interested in the side stories, finding what was in the backpacks and all that stuff. And that could be, like, an issue for some people. But once the story does get moving, it starts to move a lot faster. It's just that beginning couple of hours can be a little bit slow and tutorial-y.
I like the slower hours, though. It feels, like I said, the game kind of, like, rushes you forward. Mm-hmm. And after that midpoint, when everything starts to, like, go down in the game, there's no time to breathe. You're swinging through New York and everyone is looking after Spider-Man, and it doesn't give you time to explore New York anymore. And I think that's kind of the best, like we said earlier, that's the best part of the game is going through New York, and I don't like that it's kind of like closed off now.
Yeah, one of the things that I actually like saw online and disagreed with was that some people were critiquing the game as being Spider-Cop. Where essentially you're going around stopping crimes. But honestly, that adds a lot to the overworld. It doesn't feel like you're just swinging by and it's going from check A to B. Because in between A and B, there might be a car chase that you can stop.
Those are the best part. Every Spider-Man game, you have to stop crimes. That's a key part of being Spider-Man, is that Spider-Man doesn't face Dr. Doom at all. He's beating up the random street thugs.
One of the great disappointments of this game is that the Spider-Man 2 pizza theme appears nowhere in this game. As far as the music goes, whenever you're swinging through the city and it starts to play dramatic, almost Avengers-like music, it does like kind of get to you at points where you start swinging differently just because it's heroic music.
Yeah, I guess we could probably go on all day about what we liked and disliked about Spider-Man, but it seems like we both have a positive opinion on the game. I definitely would recommend it if it's something that you're looking to play.
Yeah. I would say it would be one of the best games on the PlayStation 4, but God of War exists. So
I haven't played God of War, so
I highly suggest it.
I probably won't. My next game is Dragon Quest XI and Valkyria Chronicles 4. Dragon Quest XI only gets let in if I can finish Valkyria Chronicles 4.
I don't know what my next game will be. It'll probably be something new and adventurous, but I can guarantee you Spider-Man's going to have a nice place on my shelf.
All right, and for more information, be sure to read Garrett's review on Spider-Man on PS4 on armucentralmedia.com. today we're going to talk about the NHL Gaming World Championship. With me we have David Roebuck. David, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I guess let's get started. So tell us about the NHL tournament. What was it like? How did you get involved in the NHL tournament?
Okay, so back in around February, there's been some couple small tournaments, and then the NHL released this huge one where there's a prize pool of $100,000, and this is the first time that they went to do this, and a lot of my buddies, we all thought we'd try out, and to qualify, you were in a bracket with 1,024 people, and if you lost one game, you were out, and you had to win that whole bracket to move on, which I did, and then the top eight from the U.S., Canada, and Europe each played in their regionals in their own country. So, like, for U.S., we went to NBC Studios in Stamford, Connecticut. And then from there, the top two went on to Vegas, which I got second there. And then they flew us out to Vegas, and then we competed out there, and I finished second there as well. And then they took us to the NHL Awards and everything.
Okay, so how long have you been playing in NHL?
I started with NHL or Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey 98 on Nintendo 64.
And you've just been you've played every game since then?
I had that and NHL Breakaway 99, and then I would play other games over my buddy's house because I didn't get a PS2 until I was about middle school age. So then I got NHL 07, and then from then on I played pretty much every game.
So you appeared in the Guinness World Record Gamers Edition 2014 as the number one NHL player. Mm-hmm. How was that experience? Like, did they interview you and ask questions and stuff?
No, actually with that, so I was ranked number one player for NHL 13 for about 6 months, and I actually didn't know I was put in it. A year or two later, some random person on Twitter DM'd me asking if I was Junior Pens 91, and I said, yeah. And then he said, like, yo, look, you're in this book, check it out. That was pretty neat.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you get started? Like, how did you find out about the tournament?
So a lot of my buddies, after I played, like, NHL 13 and 14, I took a couple of years off. And this past summer, two summers ago, I started to play a bit again. And a lot of my buddies from back then I kept in touch with, and they're helping me get back into the game, do some of the smaller tournaments, and then all of us have Twitters and that. And the NHL, they've been promoting everything on social media, so once it got released, everyone knew about it, and everyone was trying to compete for it.
Okay. And you also play club hockey, right?
Yeah, I'm on the D1 club team here at RMU.
Have you been playing club hockey since you were little, too?
Yeah, so I started at the age of 6, and I grew up in playing for the Wilkes-Barre Junior Penguins out of Wilkes-Barre. And then I ended up playing a year of prep hockey with Wyoming Seminary back home, and then I went to play a year of juniors up in Massachusetts, and then I ended up here. And now I'm a junior, so this is my third year here playing for RMU.
I guess what's the difference between playing club hockey here and playing NHL?
There's not a ton of a difference. I mean, the understanding of the game is pretty much the same. So if you understand, like, the actual game of hockey, when you take it to the video game, it makes it a ton more easier for you to play. And I feel like that's one thing that's really helped me play these games.
Does playing NHL kind of translate back? Do you see the bigger picture when you're playing, like, actual hockey?
Yeah. So the way I play NHL is 1v1, so I control all my guys, and it gives me a feel for everyone. And everything is this might sound crazy, but, like, some of the moves in the game, I go back, I do in real life, that it just works. It's weird, but just how it works.
So with the new esports team on campus, are you excited to see how, like, the university will implement that into NHL and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard a little bit about it, not a ton. I'm really excited to see how this goes.
Mm-hmm. Were you interested in, like, participating on the team as, like, an NHL representative?
I mean, if the opportunity arose, I would totally be down. I just don't know what direction exactly they're going to take it in.
And then how much time do you actually, like, spend practicing NHL and to get ready for a tournament? Like, what kind of pre-gaming goes into that?
Right. So, I mean, between hockey and school, that comes first. So there's some times where I'll go a week without playing, but then there's other times where, like, I'll have a free day and I'll just play it for the whole day. But, when I had free time for this tournament last summer, I'd say I tried to put in between, like, 1 and 4 hours each day on it just to really hone my skills and pretty much just be prepared for anything that would come at me.
And then, do you play any other games competitively? Or not even, like, consider them?
Not competitively. I like to play Call of Duty. And then another big one is some of my roommates, we mess around playing Rocket League a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, they usually carry me, but I just like to demo guys and throw some stuff in the chat.
And then you said that you worked for Set to Destroy X. What is that like?
Yeah, so that's the gaming organization I'm currently in. And they have a couple of the top NHL players, so I represent them in these tournaments.
And then, like, what kind of environment is that like to play with those, like, professional organizations?
It's pretty cool because, I mean, you're almost, like, on a team. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you go in these tournaments with some of the guys, you kind of, like, stick together, say, like, give each other tips and feedback that, like, you work with them. And it's just, it's a pretty cool feeling to be involved with something like that. Thank you.
All right, you got any more questions, Malik?
No, that's it. Thank you for coming on, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.